This is BBC Radio 4. 20 years ago, communism collapsed in Eastern Europe. John Simpson, the BBC's World Affairs editor, begins a new series now, returning to places where he witnessed the drama of 1989, to discover more about what really happened then and how things have changed. He begins in Germany.
It's curious. Here I am looking at the last long section of the Berlin Wall that's still left standing today. The first thought that comes to mind is how thin and feeble it looks, painted over as it is by dozens of self-regarding graffiti artists. But back in 1989, it loomed very large and very menacing indeed. It was the brutal division of a country built to keep an entire population imprisoned. And then suddenly, one Friday night in November, 20 years ago, people were clambering all over the wall and bashing away at it with hammers. And I found myself standing in front of it, doing a live broadcast for that evening's television news about how it didn't keep Germany divided any longer.
It's quite extraordinary. There's chanting, there's singing, there's fireworks going off. I can hear every now and then somebody having a crack at the wall with a hammer. They're trying to bash it down with their bare hands almost.
Those images of people attacking the wall from both sides and destroying the thing that had kept Germans apart for a generation still give us the strongest image we have of the fall of communism. The vast majority of people throughout the world saw those pictures. That night, we had the biggest audience that had ever been in Britain for a television news bulletin. Only halfway through my part of it, an American television engineer decided to pull the plug on me. It was quite funny and very humiliating.
Just behind where we are, there are guards with guns, but of course, there's no question of anybody using those guns. And in fact, every now and then, fancy just heard it there.
Well, I'm sorry, we lost John Simpson rather dramatically there, I'm afraid.
I was absolutely furious and pretty depressed at the same time. But as I walked away, the sight of so much sheer pleasure all around me quickly changed my mood. And now I look back on it as one of the happiest days of my entire life. And yet, ever since then, I've tried to work out why it all happened so peacefully and with so little warning. You see, I'd spent a lot of time in East Germany over the years, and it had always seemed such a powerful, forbidding and entrenched sort of society. East Germany was the most obedient country I'd ever visited. But by 1989, the obedience was breaking down, not quite so much in Berlin, where you might expect it to, but in Leipzig. And the churches were at the heart of it. Today, Leipzig's churches are celebrating the 20th anniversary of a revolution which turned out to be entirely peaceful. But at the time, no one dared to hope it would be like that. The regular prayers for peace had turned into open demonstrations, and the one that was scheduled for the night of Monday the 9th of October was clearly going to be a major confrontation. The Tiananmen Square massacre had happened only 4 months earlier. Might the ageing East German leader Erich Honecker take the Chinese option and shoot the demonstrators down? A key figure in Leipzig's intellectual life at the time was Kurt Masur, the conductor of the famous Gewandhaus Orchestra.
The tension, of course, was enormous. In the morning I had a dress rehearsal, in the evening the concert. After the dress rehearsal came three young teenagers with a message, Mr. Masur, can something be done? Because we heard that today that the soldiers and the police will start to shoot. I know that young people who wanted to go to the demonstration said farewell to their parents as if they would go as a soldier in the war, not sure if they come back alive or not.
Wir alle brauchen einen freien Meinungsaustausch über die Weiterführung des Sozialismus in unserem Land.
Masur agreed to put out an appeal for calm, which he made jointly with some leading reformers within the Leipzig Communist Party. It was broadcast to everyone, the people who were going to demonstrate, the troops, and the secret police, who were starting to assemble in the city centre.
Dialog möglich wird.
Then Mazur had to go on stage at the Gewandhaus to perform, of all unsuitable pieces, Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks by Richard Strauss. As he did so, he had no idea whether there would soon be a bloodbath in the streets outside.
As I came on stage, all the people stood up and the house was full. I thought, for God's sake, what shall happen now? My hands were shaking. There was electricity in the air. And we started with Till Eulenspiegel's Lustige Streiche. And then happened what nobody could expect, that the government people were so surprised that they didn't find a way to react.
As the orchestra played and the demonstrators gathered in the darkened streets outside, there were increasingly frantic phone calls between the local communist leadership in Leipzig and the party bosses in East Berlin. The Leipzig party secretary, who'd been trying to persuade the leaders in East Berlin that there mustn't be a massacre, prevailed. But the Stasi, the secret police, were desperate to make sure that whatever happened that night, no word of it would leak out.